40%, you've got a working majority.
That controls everything. Okay. Okay, good morning. I'll call to order the meeting of the Legislative Commission on Pensions and Retirement for February 5, 2010. We don't yet have a quorum. Members, number three on the agenda, I am told that the MSRS apparently wants a little bit more time, or some group wants a little bit more time to review the staff memo and make some recommendations here. So we will not be taking up number three on the agenda today. That was the Senate LCPR 10-005. So take that off of your list of things to do. It's my hope, again, we'll be done certainly by 1 o'clock so that we can, those who have longer drives, will be able to get on the road. Let's start, let's see, I'm one short of a administrative quorum. We're going to start with number four. The state auditor is here, and this is the recommendations for the state auditor's Volunteer Firefighter Relief Association Working Group recommendation. So, Auditor Otto, welcome to the Pensions Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We're very pleased to be, Rebecca Otto, Minnesota State Auditor, very pleased to be here today to present our 2009-2010 Working Group Bill. The Office of State Auditor convened a Volunteer Fire Relief Association working group that has the mission of identifying and working through current and pressing relief association issues and making the pension process easier and more effective. This is really important work because it supports our current system of firefighting in the state of Minnesota. We've met for 5 years now, and the group is recognized as an important forum for discussing relief association issues and recommending legislative changes. I want to make sure you understand that all the recommendations in the bill were passed unanimously by the working group. So as far as I know, the firefighting community is very behind all of the changes we're recommending today. Now, the group includes relief association trustees representing each plan type and the fire service organizations, as well as municipal representatives. And we also have the honor of having Larry Martin of the Pension Commission attend the working group meetings, and he provides a very important historical perspective as he drafted the laws in the 70s. And he assists in the drafting of he does a lot of the drafting of the legislative proposals. Many of the changes today in this working group bill are technical in nature and are needed to clean up outdated statutory references and correct inconsistencies. Three sections of the bill today, sections 5, 8, and 9, reflect substantive changes. So I'm going to do a very brief summary, Mr. Chair and members, and then if you have further questions, we're happy to answer them. Section 5 contains changes to the return to service statute. Okay, Section 5. The return to service statute is new, as it was just passed last session. So we expected it would need some cleanup as relief associations began working with the new law. The goal of the return to service statute is to assist volunteer fire departments, especially those in greater Minnesota, recruit and retain volunteer firefighters. The changes in Section 5 of this bill provide exemptions from minimum period of resumption service requirements for firefighters who have been granted an approved leave of absence, and this is technical, and for firefighters with other types of breaks in service if authorized by the bylaws. The bill would also allow monthly benefit recipients to continue collecting their monthly pensions upon a resumption of active firefighting service if the bylaws allow, instead of losing these benefits as required under current law. These changes, in summary, in Section 5, provide greater flexibility for fire relief associations in dealing with return-to-service issues and provide greater clarity to those who must calculate service pensions for members returning from breaks in service. Now I'm going to move on to Sections 8 and 9. They contain changes to survivor and death benefits. The changes include reorganization of the statute, a slight modification to the order of eligibility for benefit payments, greater flexibility for paying benefits to designated beneficiaries, and allowing the bylaws to permit to limit the duration of payments to a designated beneficiary for monthly plans that pay benefits for an extended period of time, which is a very important safeguard to avoid unfunded liabilities. And then the bill also removes the definition of surviving spouse because we determined it was adding little or nothing beyond the common parlance definition of the term. Those are Larry's words. But it also will Safeguard, it's an important safeguard to limit liabilities for some of the large monthly plans. Mr. Chair, members, we're happy to take questions this time.
Madam Auditor, could you just briefly let us know what the technical changes were, even though that they are technical? I just want to get a feel for just what we're doing in the rest of the bills as well, too. Either you or somebody else can talk about that.
Sure, Mr. Chair. Members, if you wouldn't mind, Rose Hennessy Allen from the Office of State Auditor would like to cover the technical changes.
And let me just note for the record, we do have a quorum. Okay. Welcome to the Pension Commission. Please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, members, Rose Hennessy Allen, Office of the State Auditor.
Okay. Page 2, by the way, members, does kind of go through some of the technical changes. So go ahead.
Section 1 and Section 2 are changes needed to for consistency. It's language regarding municipal ratification for plan amendments. There are three different subdivisions within current statute that that govern the municipal ratification requirements, and the language wasn't consistent among the three. So Section 1 and 2 would make that make the language consistent. Section 3 is updating an outdated reference. It's with minimum liquidity requirements for covered pension plans. Section 4 is deleting language that was added into the wrong section last session. Section 5, we discussed the return to service provision. Section 6 is adding authority for volunteer firefighters to transfer their service pension to the Minnesota Deferred Compensation Plan. Section 8 and Section 9 are the limitation on ancillary benefits that we discussed.
Section 7, did we cover that?
Let's see, Section 7.
Crediting your investment performance.
Oh, yep. Section 7 is for defined contribution plans, and it updates a correction that was needed after last session, and it also would allow the bylaws to permit investment allocations for inactive members of defined contribution plans, and that's needed to reflect current practice. And Section 10.
Oh, sorry,
finish the summary.
Oh, sure, yeah. Then Section 10, I think, was where you need to pick up.
Yep. Section 10 is regarding local approval of bylaw amendments. This section is clarified to be consistent with the first two sections that we discussed. And Section 11, authorized disbursements from the special fund. We added in authority again for relief associations and volunteer firefighters to roll over service pensions to an IRA or to the Minnesota Deferred Compensation Plan. And we moved the authorization to pay survivor benefits into the survivor benefits section. It's just a reorganization of the statute. Section 12 would permit our office to allow, upon the evidence of good faith, that an error occurred in good faith, would allow our office to permit a relief association to transfer money that was erroneously deposited into the wrong account. This sometimes happens because of bank errors. Money was inadvertently deposited into a wrong account, and we need statutory authority to allow the transfer to the correct account. And Section 13 is the repealer.
Repealer of what?
Let's see. There's.
I've got the language here, but could just explain again what.
Why yeah. We're repealing it. Last session, there was a subdivision that was repealed, and there was the subdivision was also amended during the session. And because it was changed twice during the session, the revisor's office included a note into the supplement. This would repeal that 2009 supplement so that it would not cause confusion for volunteer firefighters using the statute.
Okay. Anything further? Okay. Nothing. Okay. Representative Thiessen had a question.
Yeah, on sections 1 and 2, the current law is that if the fund is either in surplus or if the municipality has to at some point provide financial support, you would need approval. And now you're saying if it's in surplus, even if the municipality may in the future have to provide financial support because the money could go down, they could still provide a benefit increase without any municipal say in that.
Mr. Chair, Representative, currently a relief association is required to obtain municipal approval if a benefit change results in the accrued liabilities to exceed 90% of the prior year's surplus. And so they may need to obtain municipal approval even if there's no contribution requirement from the municipality. The municipal ratification requirements are in three places in statute right now, and so the language among those three sections isn't consistent. The changes in Section 1 and 2 would clarify and make the language consistent and with current practice.
And Mr. Chair, and I understand that. I'm just asking why we're going in that direction as opposed to the other direction, which would require the municipal approval. I mean, if the municipality is going to be on the line at some point, this would waive their approval of a benefit increase?
No. Mr. Chair?
Madam Auditor.
Mr. Chair and Representative Thiessen, it's not changing anything. It's the same thing. It's just cleaning up the language because there were slight variations in statute. And we're trying to make the reading of these statutes easier because of the people that have to utilize them. And so it's not substantive. It's just technical in terms of cleaning up language and making sure it's consistent.
I think Mr. Martin can shed some light on this, too. Mr. Martin.
Okay. Yes, I think I can help because they know these statutes very, very well. They're missing. They haven't disclosed to you a part of this process that is probably critical to understanding it. Municipalities generally have to approve volunteer fire benefit increases. If a plan is very well funded and the increase does not cause the city to have to make a contribution, then it can be approved by the volunteer fire plan without city approval.
And that's current law?
That's current law. But under current law, if the plan falls in funding and a city contribution is then required subsequently, the benefits roll back for that volunteer fire plan back to the last benefit increase that was approved by the city. So there is no situation where a volunteer fire plan can obligate a city without its approval, and benefits do have to roll back if there is a funding downfall, which did happen quite a few times in the most recent financial problem. So the part that this automatic rollback they didn't tell you about, and that's still part of the law. And I think that
helps a lot. Yes, okay.
You're our concern.
Representative Kahn?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure that this is I'm asking this now because the issue came up with respect to this bill. Are there any limitations on who gets designated as the survivor for benefit payments?
I don't know. Can somebody feel?
I don't know if that's in general, but specifically for the volunteer firefighters.
Ms. Hennessy.
Mr. Chair, Madam Representative, designated beneficiaries are required to be a natural person. However, for defined benefit lump sum plans and defined contribution plans, they may designate a trust as a beneficiary.
But it can be any. There are no restrictions on the person. It doesn't have to be a spouse or a child or something like that.
No, that's correct.
Okay. Any other questions? I noticed we had a 1A amendment distributed. I'm not quite sure what that is.
Yes, members, the auditor's office reviewed the draft bill over the course of the week and let me know yesterday that there was an omission of a clause, and so the omitted clauses in the two instances where they pop up, one related to defined contribution plans, the other related to defined benefit plans, would be reinserted in the 1A amendment.
Is there a motion to adopt the 1A amendment?
I move.
Representative Murphy moves the 1A amendment. Is there discussion on the 1A amendment? Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, the motion prevails. Madam Monitor, is there anybody else here who wants to testify on this bill? Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, representatives, my name is David Ganfield. I'm a retired firefighter and also the administrator of Apple Valley Fire Department Relief Association. It's been my honor and privilege to be on this working group since its inception. I believe it was recommended as a process from organization representatives of state firefighters, mainly the fire chiefs and the Fire Department Association at the time. Mr. Zickman was involved with organizing the original group. Over our period of years, I believe both of us have been involved with fire reliefs for more than 20-some years. We hear a lot from other fire departments around the state. We both teach Relief Association classes and have learned that it takes a lot of communication with everybody to understand what they need to understand to operate a Relief Association. Through this working group, we've had that opportunity of bringing concerns that we hear from around the state to the working group, plus the number of representatives that are on that group get to have their input. It's a very positive way of working with law, I guess. We don't always all agree on everything, but we do come to a consensus and work together, knowing that we may have to make some changes in the future. That's why you see us coming back with some technical changes this year. But through the process of all this, at the beginning of the year, we usually go with a list of topics, narrow that down to a top 10 or so, and work from there. What we have left over carries on to the next year, so it's just a continuing work process. But our goal is to make it better for relief associations to understand and learn how to operate a relief association in a proper manner. Many times it's just there are people that need the training, just like anybody else would if they go into a new job. So that's what we try to do in working with the working group. We appreciate your support of this in the past. I know with other commissions it's been difficult when one relief association comes with one little bill all the time. We try to group many of those concerns into one, and it works much better.
Thank you, Mr. Danfield. Any questions? And is there anybody else who's here to testify? Welcome to the Pension Commission. Please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, members, Niall Zickman representing the Minnesota State Fire Chiefs, and just again want to express my appreciation also to the auditor and just share with the commission. This is an incredibly transparent process. The recommendations have been widely distributed. The working group minutes are widely distributed. It's as good a process as anything I've been involved in. We appreciate the commission's support and offering the staff to come over and help also. But there's unanimity across the state. There's been no feedback. We've worked through all the issues, and we'd appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Is there anybody else who's here who wants to be heard on this issue? Any questions of the members? Motion.
I move we adopt.
Okay. Representative Murphy moves that the document 10-5059 as amended be incorporated in the omnibus pension bill. There's discussion on that motion. Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
As opposed, motion prevails. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, members, the number three on the agenda has been taken off. The interested groups wanted a little bit more time to review and respond to the staff memo, so that's not going to be before us today. Let me back up to number one now that we have a quorum. This is approval of the Pension Commission minutes from January 13, 2010. Is there a motion to adopt the minutes?
So moved.
Representative Nelson moves adoption of the minutes. Discussion of the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. As opposed, the motion prevails. Members, we've had number two on the agenda for a while. Maybe we can just refresh our memories. We've dealt with most of the MSRS provisions. The one we left hanging a few months ago with dealing with legislators and specifically whether we should revise the fact that, you know, should they be able to make a change to go from MSRS or the unclassified plan into a defined benefit plan. We had some ideas we're batting around. I'm not sure that any where we're at or any progress has been made. You know, I'm ready to either discuss it or move on, but does anybody have any thoughts here on this one? So anybody want to raise anything? Otherwise, we'll just go on to the next item. Okay, let's move on. Okay, number five on the agenda is PERA Volunteer Fire Statewide Plan Advisory Board and PERA Recommended Administrative Changes. Mr. Martin, I believe this is yours.
Members, if you recall, during the 2009 session, the commission recommended and the legislature enacted a new plan for volunteer firefighters operated on a statewide basis by PERA. It first was to go into effect on January 1, 2010, with any fire departments that wished to join and went through the process of shifting assets and transferring members. The plan is a little different than some of our other statewide plans in that most of our statewide plans are known as cost-sharing plans, where everyone in the plan has the same benefit provisions, and the contribution requirements are spread comprehensively throughout the plan. In this volunteer fire plan, it's not a cost-sharing plan. It's a separate, distinct liability center for each fire department or municipality in the plan. And it has a number of different benefit levels that would be available to a volunteer fire department that chooses to join. PERA has an advisory board that was set up to assist the PERA board in operating the plan and reviewing how the plan is to develop, and that board met over the course of the fall, and the bills on 5 and 6 reflect recommendations of the statewide volunteer fire plan advisory board, and my understanding is the PERA board also. Bill 5 is mostly administrative changes. The bill clarifies the way fire state aid and some aspects of local volunteer fire regulation work in setting up a statewide plan where historically there have only been local volunteer plans. The fire state aid program and the volunteer fire chapter contemplate only that's a scenario. Didn't fully contemplate having a statewide plan. And the 2009 odd legislation got most of the necessary changes, but didn't get quite all of them. So sections 1 and 7 of the bill relate to how the fire state aid program works when there's when the retirement coverage for the applicable volunteer firefighters is with the statewide plan rather than a local volunteer fire plan. It also clarifies the initial benefit level for transferring defined contribution volunteer fire plans. Most in the state, most of our volunteer fire plans are defined benefit plans. Most of them are actually lump sum volunteer fire plans where a certain amount of a benefit per year of service credit is paid out in a lump sum in a single payment or a small number of installments to a retiring firefighter. When the plan was set up, it was well set up for these lump sum volunteer fire plans, but was not necessarily wholly compatible for defined contribution plans. There are about 50 or 60 defined contribution volunteer fire plans. One of the individuals who was on the working group that led to the development of the statewide plan and is still on the advisory board is from a defined contribution plan, and they are contemplating joining the plan, as I understand it. but there are some aspects of the process that don't work well for defined contribution plans. So the initial benefit level, which for a lump sum plan would be whatever the plan had prior to joining the statewide plan, we need to find some surrogate for that, some way to find a functional equivalent. And so Sections 2 and 5 do that. The third change in Section 3 of the bill has to do with a provision that was actually lifted from the 1987 paid fire and police consolidation law, having to do with an extra asset transfer by municipalities. It was a lift from that 1987 legislation and actually proves to be a problem when it's applied to the volunteer fire plan. In 87, with the paid plans, this was because the actuarial work was so complicated and we only wanted to do the actuarial work once. If after the actuarial work was done, there was a marked change in the asset values of the local relief association that was about to consolidate under that 87 law, we needed to get those assets restored. And so there was a separate requirement that the municipality would make up any loss that occurred in the asset values after the actuarial work was done. It's a lot less complicated with this statewide volunteer fire plan, and what is happening, because these are lump sum plans, this special asset transfer provision, which wasn't fully thought out last year, actually applies in cases where a retiring firefighter taking a lump sum benefit causes the asset values to drop considerably right on the verge of joining the statewide plan. And this asset transfer provision would require the city to make up that benefit level, as it were, before the plan could actually join the statewide plan, not what was intended in 2009 and not appropriate. In Section 4, the fourth change of the bill has to do with what happens if there is insufficient money in one account in this special volunteer fire plan, the statewide volunteer fire plan. And so it sets up a special funding requirement should there be an account that is unable to meet all of the pension benefits payable from that account, a special default benefit funding requirement. So if for some reason a long-time volunteer firefighter is about to retire and the benefit, the special benefit account for that particular fire department is a few hundred or a few thousand dollars shy, the city is obligated to make up that shortfall. So that's Section 4. It's an added protection for the plan. Since it's not a cost-sharing plan, there is no borrowing from account A to one of the other accounts. And then the last item, Sections 4 and 6 of the bill, the fifth change in the bill, if you look on page 1 of the memo, has to do with disability benefit coverage. The plan, as it was enacted in 2009, had no disability benefit coverage, something that the statewide volunteer fire advisory board focused on was a need to have at some future date disability coverage in order to handle the risks that volunteer firefighters face. PERA did not want to reinstitute the same problems it has in the PERA police and fire plan of going through a lot of complicated processes to try and determine whether a disability occurred or didn't. And so this resolution, which is to have disability coverage through an insurance arrangement, was proposed, and this authorizes PERA to explore providing disability benefit coverage through the purchase of third-party insurance. So with that, members, that's the changes made in the bill. Ms. Vanek is here representing the PERA administration and board, and can also tell you something about the process and can confirm that the PERA board is recommending these changes.
It may look like cleanup. Any questions of Mr. Martin? Ms. Vanek, did you have anything to add to the? She's shaking her head. No, she doesn't want to add anything. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption and inclusion.
Representative Murphy moves adoption of document 09-080 into the Omnibus Pension Bill. Is there a discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. Okay, and then number six on the agenda is PERA Volunteer Fire Statewide Plan Advisory Board and PERA Recommended Extension of Service Pension Levels. Mr. Martin.
Members, this is more substantive and less administrative than the prior bill. It is a recommendation of the statewide volunteer advisory board. As I mentioned when I made my opening remarks on the prior bill, that this is a somewhat different plan than our normal pension plans, in that it has different levels of benefits that can be elected by a volunteer fire department that's contemplating participating in the plan. That's the thrust of this bill. If you turn to page one of the bill, I think you get most of the essence of the bill. There were, when passed in 2009, I believe, 16 different benefit levels grading out at various increments. The concern of the advisory board was that the increments were too large in the early, in the smaller benefit amount portion of this grid, and that there needed to be some additional benefit levels added to make it more user-friendly for the potential volunteer fire departments that might join the plan. So it eliminates the current $750 per year of service credit benefit level, adds a $600 level, a $700 level, $800 and $900, and also a $1,250 level. So it now would it would grow the number of possible levels from 16 to 20. The other change that is made in the bill is a grandparenting in if any plan did elect the $750 level when it joined the plan on January 1, 2010. This would grandparent that plan in at the $750 level for anyone who's already done that. My understanding, there were a handful of plans that were to join on January 1. I've not talked to Ms. Vanek about this since then, so I'm not sure how many actually did join the plan and if any did join at the $750 level. If no one joined at the $750 level, Section 2 would not be needed and ought to be eliminated from the recommendation.
Any questions, Mr. Martin?
Mr. Chairman, of Mr. Martin, page 2 of the memo, paragraph 2, the last sentence, is that sentence incomplete, or are there, what's the missing language?
Members, I think you should consider attempting to gain a sense of the interest for the expansion. I think
that's good.
It would be ascertaining the interest is what
thank you.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Representative. Ms. Vanek.
Mr. Chair and members, for the record, Mary Vanek, PERA Director. We had six groups join the plan as of January 1st, and one, the City of Otter Tail Fire Department, did come in at the $750 benefit level, so we do have to grandfather that benefit. With respect to the issue of the interest in expanding the plan, the advisory board had a very engaged discussion about this. They made it, they decided very clearly that they don't want to replicate what is available through the existing fire relief structure, but they did feel that there was a need based on feedback, both through the League of Minnesota Cities, townships, and the individuals involved in the fire service, that we needed a little bit more flexibility at the beginning stages of this program to allow going up a little bit more incrementally than jumping from 500 to 750 to 1,000. And that's why the group decided on these expanded levels.
Any questions, Ms. Vanek? Is there anybody else who's here who wants to be heard on this item? Mr. Zickman, welcome back. Please identify yourself again for the record.
Mr. Chair, members, Niall Zickman, Minnesota Fire Chiefs. And I just wanted to maybe give you an update to the commission members that have been working on this plan for a number of years. Between Mr. DeYoung and myself, we believe we've had almost 10% of the fire lease in the state have expressed an interest, either contacted myself or him. I think the only thing that moves slower than frozen molasses is volunteer fire relief associations. We're really not marketing it as we're trying to give PRA some time to work through a few transitions, but we're both pleased with the level of interest in this. I was in Linwood last week. I'm going up to Mount Nair next week as more plans are calling up and looking for interest. So I just want to give you that update and report. And, again, thank you for the support and putting this option in place. Clearly, there's interest.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Ann Finn. I represent the League of Minnesota Cities, and I just wanted to lend our support to this bill. We, after your legislation was passed last year, went forward with producing we're calling it a toolkit for our members so that they can have a step-by-step process to evaluate whether or not they would like to join the plan. We marketed that when we went out on our regional meetings this fall. And I wanted to share with you that the primary concern that our local governments had with considering the plan was that the benefit levels were not quite at a comfort level for them. They were nervous about coming in at the 750 level, and then they were nervous that if they wanted to move up, that the steps were too big. And we brought that back to Ms. Vanek and the group that she had convened, and they did respond with these recommendations, and we do appreciate that.
Representative Teason.
Thank you. Just so what do you have to do to pick out a level? And then you can move up a level at some later date to put more money in? Is that the deal?
Ms. Vanek?
Mr. Chair, Representative Teason, we asked them to choose the level at which they want to come into the program. And Mr. DeYoung, the assistant director and our manager of finance, and his staff do an analysis and provide feedback to the fire department in the city about if it will impact their municipal contribution, what the cost will be. So then they decide within 90 days whether to join the plan. As their funding level improves or if the city chooses to improve the benefit level, they will ask for additional analysis, find out what the cost will be, and then they can elect to move up. So there is input from the municipality before changes are made.
Okay. Any other questions? Anybody else who's here on this issue? Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of LCPR 09-081 and included in the omnibus bill.
Representative Murphy moves that the document 09-081 be adopted and included in the omnibus bill. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Rails. Well, that's it pretty much for the agenda, folks. I've scheduled pension meetings for the next three Fridays. Obviously, it all depends upon the fluidity of the legislative process. I had heard that the House might be contemplating a floor session next Friday. I don't know if that's true or not, but if it's, you are.
Yes, but I don't know
okay.
how long.
If I find out that there's going to be, obviously we can't meet during a floor session, so we'll just have to stay tuned and see what happens.
I think it's short. I think it's just a process.
Oh, process. Okay. If we are able to meet, then I think by next week we can start discussing the long-range plans of the major funds, MSRS, PERA, TRA, for the contribution increases, the cost of living matters, and so forth, the things that he talked about during the actuary presentations last month. St. Paul Teachers also has some proposals, so I think that's going to take a lot of discussion and thought there. Murph tells me that they are ready to come in, I think, at the meeting on the 19th of February with their proposals. I don't know what they are yet. But they say they'll have something for us to consider by then. We'll probably need a meeting to go over the whole bill that we've been working on since last June and see what's there. We will have – I've scheduled one meeting for an evening, as I've talked about along on Tuesday, February 16th. Again, that's subject to legislative demands, but that's where we're going to have a look at these small group and or individual constituent bills. So that's the opportunity for the legislators who aren't on the Pension Commission to come before us, get their constituents in here. It's just easier in the evening for them to come in than during the day. So that's why we have to have an evening meeting. Again, if the 16th, and that's not St. Patrick's Day this year, is that correct? No. Okay.
That's true.
Okay. Got it. Okay. I don't want to make that mistake ever again. Okay. But other than that, and we have to revisit number three on today's agenda since that we held that off. But other than that, we may be pretty much in the home stretch on the bill, folks. So, Representative Murphy.
Did you hear anything? Going back to number two mm-hmm. on the agenda, did you hear anything from other people about that?
Not directly. I've heard that there are some discussions as to do we really want to go there and like that, but nobody has talked to me directly about it. Everything I've heard is kind
and
of
that
secondhand.
Probably that question was probably answered with the silence.
Possibly. Yeah. Oh, Mr. Bergstrom, I'm sorry.
Yep, Mr. Chair, Dave Bergstrom, the director of the state retirement system. Classified plan.
Yeah.
I don't remember if the first part that we requested was moved by the Pension Commission for inclusion in the bill or not. What we had left
the document is still unresolved.
Oh, the whole document's unresolved? Okay, Mr. Martin. Okay.
Members, number two, the Commission has dealt with that a couple of times. The document as before you reflects the Commission's work to date. It's the second engrossment of the bill, reflecting the changes you've made in it up until now. As the Chair indicated, one of the remaining issues with this bill has to do with the status of legislators who are in the unclassified plan and the question of whether they can or cannot transfer and similar matters. Mr. Bicker at the last meeting, when this was last discussed, did talk about a contribution rate concern by some of the unclassified plan members. The unclassified plan has a different member contribution rate than the MSRS general plan, and for individuals who do shift from the unclassified plan to the general plan, the differential in the contribution rates have to be made up at the time of the transfer. And he was proposing indexing the unclassified member contribution rate to the MSRS general rate to resolve that issue. Those are the two issues that, as we understand it, are left to be decided with the bill. The bill has not been added to the omnibus pension bill yet.
But
it sits in the second engrossment of the work of the commission today.
But the second engrossment would reflect the things we've already voted on and approved to date, not the other issues. Is that correct? Or?
Senator, it reflects the amendments that have been discussed by the commission and approved to the bill. It's not the full bill.
No, yet. But would the second engrossment include the things that we have voted to improve?
Yes.
We just didn't make that final motion to take that section, those things, and put it in the bill, right?
Right.
We probably should take care of that just to get it in there. But where is the second engrossment located? Is that
Members, it's number two in your packet.
Okay.
The tab two.
Where within the packet would that be? That is it.
The second engrossment is the document that's attached to your bill, so it would.
Oh, I see. So it's E2.
Page 15 of the bill or the packet on.
Okay, so it's S0889-E2.
Yes.
And that would be the second engrossment, and those are the things we have voted on. But we just didn't vote to put these things in the final bill.
Members, it's the bill with the various amendments that you've already handled,
Got it.
Yes.
But not the things that we've set aside?
No.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Okay. Representative Murphy moves that the second engrossment of Senate File 889 be adopted as part of the omnibus bill. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion fails. Okay.
Sure, thank you.
Does that take care of it? Okay. Anything else that anybody wants to bring to our attention? We're getting ready to adjourn here. Anybody else? Okay. Again, we'll just watch the schedule. Right now, we're planning to meet next week and around the same time period. But again, we'll just make adjustments as needed by the demands of the legislature. So with that, the meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Okay. This was a